The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
It can be an incredibly rewarding job for people who want to make a difference. But being a social worker can also be one of the most challenging. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to learn about a fascinating new program at the university, helping to train the next generation of social workers in part by using actors. Our guest today is Julie Brown. Julie is director of the Milwaukee Child Welfare Partnership for Professional Development, located in the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UWM. Welcome, Julie. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Social work is challenging because you're always dealing with people who are at a difficult point in their life.
That's true. And one of the many challenging things we ask of people who are doing child protection social work in Milwaukee and other jurisdictions, but we focus in Milwaukee County, is we ask them to make decisions about whether or not children are safe in their homes. And they need to make those decisions with a lot of precision and rigor for reasons that you can imagine, that you wouldn't want to have agents of the state or the government, which is essentially how the function works, coming in and making decisions about what should happen with children in a way that was anything but rigorous and careful and well-regulated. So it's a, you know, that in and of itself is difficult. And then, of course, dealing with the circumstances that the families pose and making the right decisions is very difficult. So that's one of the many reasons that we put a tremendous amount of energy into how we train people to do that so that they can be well prepared, that they can be confident in what they're doing also.
And certainly the training first starts in the classroom. You do have a lot of theory that that is shared with students, that students have to absorb before they even get close to crossing that threshold into someone else's home.
Well, that's correct. And so the people that we teach come with degrees, in most cases, Bachelor of Social Work degrees or maybe Master of Social Work degrees or allied fields. So they have that education behind them, which, of course, is critical. And I should say that a great number of the students that we were, the new social workers we work with, were at one point students in the School of Social Welfare here at UWM, which is kind of great. But then what we teach them to do is how to take that education and apply it in this very specific way to the work they're going to be doing with children and families. So, yes, there's a great deal of classroom work that is involved. And then there's also quite a bit of practice and feedback and assessment of those skills in actual application that we do as well. Because it's not enough just to know. You also have to know how.
And that's where the actors come in, which I think is really, really an interesting way to go ahead and provide that virtual experience for social workers before they're literally in the combat zone, if you will, on the front line.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And this was entirely our thinking in using that strategy to help prepare new social workers was this, that we, you know, everybody's going to make mistakes in the field. That's to some degree unavoidable. But what you want to try to do is, A, avoid the mistakes that you can avoid. And some of those can be avoided by being trained well going in, and then obviously having support and supervision going forward. So our thinking was, well, all right, how can we create the most real life kinds of situations that we can in the safe zone of a training session to help people prepare so that, A, they're not making mistakes with real families that they wouldn't have to, and, B, so they can get feedback from us and from the actors even and from their peers and from their supervisors that are going to help them perform better when they're actually out working with families.
So you've got actors who interface with your students. Who are they? Are they where did you find them, and how do they evolve?
This is a great story, and the actors that we work with all come from a company called In Tandem, which is a theater company here in Milwaukee, and it's run by Chris and Jane Fleeler, and they have been absolutely tremendous partners to us. I mean, there's obviously no way we could have pulled this off without their support, and it's just really been a delightful partnership. And a great example of, you know, the community and the university coming together to do something of value for the community as a whole. So that's really been terrific. And the way that this all came about, it actually was an interesting set of coincidences that a person who was on our staff at the time came to me and said, you know, I've noticed that one of the things that happens in class when we do traditional role plays and practice sessions and things that people might be familiar with from their own training experiences is that they're not as successful as they could be because it's difficult to stay in character when you're, you know, a participant with another participant and you're sort of faking it being whatever you're asked to be.
And you might be a friend with that classmate.
Absolutely. And so you're
not. So you don't want to be too mean to them, right?
Correct. Correct. Or too, you know, out there in some way that's going to seem awkward in the classroom. So his comment was, you know, what if we, you know, looked into the possibility of using actors, that we'd read about strategies like that happening in medical schools and in other kinds of training programs in other fields around the country. And I said, well, what a terrific idea. Let's look into that. And about the same time, the statewide system that we partner with was also looking at some curriculum for the whole state. And one of the pieces of curriculum they purchased had as, you know, one small strategy, having actors play the role of family members and then having the social workers practice with them. So we took this as a sign that we were, you know, on the right track and said, all right, let's really do this. And so that's where we, you know, were introduced to Jane and Chris at In Tandem. And they were, again, very helpful in helping us develop the roles that we wanted to have the actors play and in all the logistics that were involved in getting this to work. And it was so successful that we extended this beyond that one segment and that one course. So now we use actors in two or three different places in the course of our training program, including in our assessments. So one of the things that new social work staff have to do to complete their training is do a live interview with an actor playing the role of a family member, and then they're judged on their interviewing skills. So, you know, we've taken this beyond where we originally started, but it's been very well received. And pretty much everybody who comes through the program comments on that aspect of their training as having been very valuable.
Really curious about how the actors prepare. Do you create a script for them to follow that they have to memorize, or is there a lot of improv that takes place?
Well, it's a lot of improv because what we want them to do is respond like real people would in the context of interacting with a social worker. So what we have created, again, with Jane and Chris's assistance are some characters so that what the actors get are, you know, descriptions of this person, generally what their issues are, a little bit of background information about them, and then they work with Jane and Chris to develop their role kind of off the stage, so to speak, so things that we don't see. So when they come to our trainings, they play the people that they're intended to play, and what the participants see are people, you know, who are dealing with the situations that they're going to encounter when they're on the job.
And so your students haven't seen the script in advance.
No.
They sit down or they begin interacting with this actor as if it were a client, someone who,
correct,
who's living in a home in Milwaukee or in the suburbs and having issues that require the engagement of a social worker.
Correct. So they may have some minimal information about the person that they're going to meet, which would be not dissimilar from what they would have in their actual on-the-job experiences. They have some information. And then their job is to go discover additional information that will lead to them making a correct decision. So
how realistic does it get? I mean, are these pretty emotional encounters between the actors and the students?
They can be. And we've had, and we don't put parameters on that necessarily other than the normal ones that you would imagine. It's like, no going completely crazy here because we are trying to do this for educational purposes. But we've had, you know, a fair amount of tears and anger. And those are the real emotions that people have, and understandably so, when they're being questioned about their parenting practices and about the safety of their children and about things that are dear to them. I mean, this is very emotional work. So we want new social workers coming through to have that experience so that they—
Of seeing other people in a sort of raw state.
Right, Right. And to normalize that, I mean, that's the word that we use, you know, to say, look, this is a normal reaction to what is going on. This is not people being necessarily out of control or inappropriate. I mean, this is how human beings react when things close to them are being challenged. So your role as a social worker is to recognize that, is to figure out how to respond to that in a way that is empathic, but also moves you toward getting the information that you need.
How about social workers or the students themselves? Do they get emotional when they are interacting with these actors playing the role of someone who's got a lot of problems?
They can, but one of the things that I've noticed about the people that we work with, which is very impressive, I mean, they're a talented group for the vast majority, is that they have some really, you know, good skills already for how to interact with people. So we haven't had many people become, you know, unusually distraught. They're oftentimes nervous, and they're sometimes, they're surprised by what happens. They think, oh, geez, I didn't expect this, and I don't exactly know what to do. But again, those seem like exactly the kinds of reactions that you'd want to have in the learning context that we're creating, because then it helps us talk about, okay, well, here's what you do, and here's how you deal with being nervous and uncomfortable when dealing with someone who's emotional or whatever the issue is.
Are the actors different ages, different gender? So you have sort of that whole gamut of humanity walking into the classroom?
Yes. And in fact, one of the ways in which our partnership with In Tandem has really been successful is that, you know, we've asked them to find particular kinds of people that we want the new social workers to understand and be able to deal with effectively. So adolescents, for example, can be sometimes hard to talk to. So we want our new people to have that experience and dealing with, again, with people who may be angry or maybe depressed is not at all uncommon in our work. So we want people who are able to perform that. And Jane and Chris have been just terrific in finding, you know, the right actors to play those roles so that it comes across as very realistic.
What's in it for the actors? Why do they keep coming back?
You know, that's a really good question. And what they tell me is that two things. One, it's good experience for them because what they learn are all kinds of acting skills, including improvisational skills that they can use in their own acting careers. But they also feel, you know, intrigued and rewarded by applying their skills to help social workers who are going to be working in the community. So, you know, they see it, I think, as something of a service role, but also as an opportunity to develop their own skills. So in that way, I mean, it's a terrific partnership, again, because both sides are benefiting.
Well, and I suppose the actors who walk in and play this the part of a troubled person in your classroom may someday get a role standing on a stage in which they are reading from a script of someone who has dealt with some really, really tough times in their life.
Absolutely. So my guess is, I don't know a whole lot about how actors are trained, but my guess is that they are developing their own cast of characters, so to speak, that they could draw on when they have other roles. So,
do you ever have situations where either the actor or your students, the social workers in training, fall out of character, where it either gets too intense or something else happens where it just sort of breaks down?
You know, I can't think of a specific situation where that has occurred. But one of the things that we regularly encourage is after a practice session with an actor to say, okay, now we give feedback to the person who was doing the interviewing work. And the actor participates in that. So in that portion, the actor is out of character and is speaking as themselves. And what they usually talk about is, let me tell you what it felt like to have you ask me that question that way. Or let me tell you what I, you know, thought you might have been inferring, and that's why I reacted angrily. And that is incredibly useful feedback to the social workers that we're training, because then they get to hear, well, oh, this is the impact of what I did, or, oh, I see how you're hearing that. Now I understand why you took that turn, you know, and I'm not sure that that's something they would get anywhere else.
Because the student, the social worker, is following their own script.
Exactly.
And it may be based on something they've learned in the classroom or in a lecture, the theory of what how things should unfold. And in reality, that may not always go quite so clean or smoothly.
Exactly. And so one of the things that we teach all the time is going into an interview, you have to have a plan because it's a purposeful activity. You're not just chatting with someone. I mean, the goal is to find out the information that you need in order to make a determination about the safety of a child. So there needs to be a plan, but it cannot be a plan that blinds you to what is going on right in front of you, because as real life unfolds in conversation and things going on in a home, whatever the case may be, you have to be prepared to take that in. And that's difficult. That's not at all an easy balancing act. And so, again, the practice in doing that really helps.
And having the actor there makes it safe, because you can make a mistake and realize it's just practice.
Exactly. And in fact, we tell people this all the time, and they sort of hear us and sort of don't. Look, this is the place you want to make your mistakes. This is the place to be imperfect. This is not about perfection. And the reason being is that this is where then you can get the information and the correction you need so that when you go out into the world, you do it better. So we really encourage people to make all the mistakes that you can, because that's how you're going to learn here.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack. Joining us in the studio is Julie Brown. Julie is director of the Milwaukee Child Welfare Partnership for Professional Development, a program in the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UWM. And we're talking about ways in which actors have been brought onto campus to interact with social workers who are building their skills, becoming even better at the profession of serving the public as social workers. Julie, if we could talk a little bit about the profession itself. Realizing you've got a great program like this actor experience, the encounter between actors and social workers to create that realistic environment. That said, when the social worker ultimately is on her own or his own and they are operating as professionals in the field, it's a pretty tough job, isn't it?
It's a very tough job, and it's an underappreciated job. And I take every opportunity I can, so I'll take this one, to say that the people who do child protection social work in Milwaukee County, not exclusively, but those are the ones I know best, should really have earned all of our respect. They are asked to do incredibly hard work. They're asked to do it under very challenging circumstances, and the stakes are very high. And they're not especially well paid, and they're often ignored until a mistake happens. So knowing that, it puts a lot of appropriate pressure on those of us who are involved in instructing them to do as good a job as we can, because we want to equip them so that they are able to deal with the situations that they encounter as well as they possibly can. But if you happen to meet a child protection social worker, anybody listening to this, please thank them, because they do thankless work.
Given the fact that the stakes are so high and the stress is there, what is it that draws people to this high-risk game?
I think it's the outcomes. It's recognizing that when this work is done well, very often you can prevent harm from coming to children, and may be able to put families together in a way that allows them to be safe and stable and secure, which might not have been true had the intervention not occurred. And I think that's a powerful draw for reasons that are probably pretty obvious. Even if you only are that successful once or twice, that success ripples out through the lives of the individuals you touch and into the community in ways that can be very powerful.
The young people who are drawn to social work, do they start out with the notion at the beginning of their college career, I want to be a social worker? Or do you see people changing in the process? People who might think, I want to teach, or I want to do something else that will fulfill my sense of altruism, and they somehow find their way towards social work?
Yeah, it's both and. We see plenty of people who sort of always knew that they wanted to be social workers, and many who come to it by other paths, and oftentimes through other educational paths other than, a social work degree. And I think that that's likely to continue, that as, you know, different kinds of professions change and people look for opportunities outside of what they might have been trained for originally. And I think that's also a good thing, that there's an enriching element that comes from having people come from different motivations and different walks of life, so long as the joining element is we all want to work together for the good of the families that we're serving, for the good of, in this instance, Milwaukee as a community. You know, it's all for the good.
Julie, the program we've been talking about where you have role-playing on the part of actors, helping to provide that guidance, is focused, I think, largely on preparing those who are going to be in the child protection side of social work. Do you see a role for this same sort of role-playing to train other types of social workers?
Potentially. You know, I don't want to talk too far out of what I know well, but it seems to follow that you could take people who are doing, say, hospital social work or school social work and create similar scenarios with the kinds of situations they're likely to encounter and their goals and the people that they're likely to work with and provide those opportunities. I don't see why not inherently.
And more work for actors, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
As you mentioned, some of the other facets of social work, that the different roles that that one might play in terms of providing this one-on-one service to people in need. Do you get a sense that the people that you're working with in the child protection area are likely to graduate or transition to some of those other jobs in the course of their career, or do you see a lot of one-off people who come in and just stick with the same thing?
Well, we would like the latter portion of your statement to be more true, which is to say to have more people stay in child protection, social work, child welfare, kind of the general umbrella term, for longer periods of time, because it's very important work and it's difficult. And so as you can imagine, there's a lot of turnover. People get burned out and they get tired and they have all kinds of other motivations that oftentimes leads them out of the profession, and that's unfortunate. So one of the things that we're always trying to encourage and find ways to infuse into the training that we do and so on is here's how this could benefit you as a professional, and here's the kind of difference that you can make over the course of a long career. That said, there's lots of different ways to serve the community. So, you know, it's hard to feel too mournful about someone deciding to, you know, work with elderly people, for example, or to work with people with developmental disabilities. And that's all for the good. And certainly I think that happens in the course of a lot of social workers' career.
What sort of turnover do you see in your side of the house?
Well, you know, that's an interesting story because in Milwaukee, there was a time when the turnover of child protection social workers was very high, and that has dropped considerably over the last 10 years or so. So that's a good trend. You know, it's still a struggle, and nationally this is an issue, and particularly in urban jurisdictions around the country, everybody has this struggle because it's difficult work wherever you're practicing it. And so I think that, you know, we're always looking for ways to minimize that. And in fact, good training is a key strategy in trying to minimize turnover, that when people feel equipped with the information and the skill they need, they're more likely to stay in a profession because they're more likely to feel competent.
So perhaps training programs like the one we've been talking about will prevent those sort of shocks or surprises that that turn people off to a career that that they had one vision of how it might unfold, and the reality kind of smacks them in the face.
Exactly. We know that turnover is more complex a subject than simply lining up directly with training. But we think we can be part of the answer to that. And you're absolutely right that trying to ease any potential distance between what people imagine the work to be and then what they find it to be, and having them negatively evaluate the work as a consequence, is something that we're trying to avoid.
Walk in with your eyes wide open.
Exactly.
As you think about how the community has evolved, do you see the problems or challenges of facing families and kids in the troubled families getting better, or is it still a severe problem in terms of the number of children who are at risk at living in a family with lots of dysfunction?
Well, one of the things that, again, has been a really good story about about Milwaukee is that the number of children who are in the care of the child welfare system has decreased dramatically over the last 10 years by a couple times. So I think in the late 90s, there were some 6,000 children in care, and now there's about 2,500, maybe a little less than that. I don't know the exact number today. So that's a pretty substantial decrease, and a lot of that has to do with the diligent hard work of the people I was praising a minute ago.
So you intervene rather than wait until there is the breaking point. Your social workers are on the ground dealing with problems early on?
That's exactly the objective. And so what I was talking before about keeping children safe, one of the kinds of assessments that social workers need to do is, are the circumstances, whether or not a child has actually been hurt, which hopefully they haven't been, are there circumstances present in the home that would suggest that they could be hurt in the immediate future? And if so, let's intervene so that we're not constantly waiting for something bad to happen before action is taken, because obviously that's not the optimal way to proceed. But that has to be done with care, right? And with kind of rigorous adherence to standards so that it doesn't become an overreach.
And you also need some early warning signs to get your social workers into those homes.
Correct.
Early enough, right?
Absolutely. And so that's, you know, a very important part of community education, so that people in the community have a sense of, well, what is it that creates danger for children or that makes them likely to be victims of abuse and neglect, and then bring those situations to the attention of social workers so that intervention can happen.
So as you look down the road, we often talk on this program about career opportunities and where the jobs are. Do you foresee a steady demand for social workers, both in child protection areas and other social work roles in the future?
I do. And in some ways, that's somewhat unfortunate, because I think ideally we would like to not have the role of child protection social work exist.
Right? Like to put yourself out of a job, ideally.
Absolutely. Right? We want to, you know, make it all obsolete. But, you know, I don't think that that's likely to occur anytime soon. And economic circumstances are an important factor, because as families become more stressed economically, they're more likely to have the kinds of problems that could result in children being unsafe. So certainly, that's something that's been very pressing in the immediate term. I think another thing that's, you know, kind of attractive in one way about this sort of work is it certainly can't be outsourced. Right? I mean, you can't develop relationships with families that you need to keep children safe from India.
Right.
I mean, that has to be done.
Get on the phone with a person 1,000 miles away.
Right. I mean, it's a person-to-person, you know, kind of work. And so in that respect, I wouldn't expect that the jobs would be going away. And in fact, we do notice something of a trend of, you know, kind of mid-career professionals turning to social work as an alternative. Maybe they'd done something else and the jobs had gone away, or they weren't so satisfied with that. And they think, you know, I want to make a difference in my community now, and how might that happen? And I think that that's a very exciting trend, again, because it brings more diversity and more perspective into the mix.
Well, Julie, we thank you for your thoughts today, and thank you for making a difference in terms of training that next generation of social workers, both in child protection and other areas. A lot of great work being done in the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare.
Thank you.
Julie Brown, Director of the Milwaukee Child Welfare Partnership for Professional Development, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Well, that's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.